Good afternoon. I'm Jim Ippolito. I work for the USDA ARS, Agricultural Research Service in Kimberly, Idaho. And like Dr. Bolster said, I'm going to enlighten you for the next 10 to 15 minutes on biochar heavy metal sorption. And so I'm going to acknowledge a few co-authors here, Dr. Dan Strong from the University of Idaho, and Dr. Jeff Novak from the from ARS in Florence, South Carolina. And I actually roped in a high school slash college student who used to work in my lab. Now she's at the University of Idaho under Dan Strong. And so working in mine land reclamation, if you've never worked in mine lands before, it's really fun because you see situations that you typically never see in most agricultural ecosystems. And so you get some really nice colors across the landscape. And so typically when you're working on these sites, you have these locations that have signs that say don't drink the water and don't bathe in, et cetera. And that's because we've got these really unique situations. If you know anything about mine land reclamation or mine lands in general, they're typically found in relatively close proximity to some major and in some cases pristine water bodies. As you see down here in this bottom left-hand corner, there's a mine shaft essentially within a couple hundred meters of this system. And the scary thing about some of these sites is when you talk about acidic waters or acidic drainage, when the sign is actually eaten because of the acidic drainage, it's usually a good sign, pun intended, that you probably shouldn't be dancing in the water. And so just to give you some facts about mine lands in general, so across the U.S. there's about 500,000 abandoned mine sites, of which in the western United States there's about 160,000 of those. And of those, there's about 33,000 that generate acidic mine runoff. Okay, and so it's a real issue in the western United States. And so hopefully I'm setting the stage here, and you'll see where I'm going here in a second. So here's the second part of the stage that I'm setting. And so in the western United States, we have issues in the forest in the western United States where we do thinning. The U.S. Forest Service comes through and thins, and they typically create these slash piles. Okay, and they typically just come through and they burn them. Okay, they just burn them and they get rid of them. Well, here's the issue, and I don't know if you can see this picture very well, but in the top right-hand corner, these slash piles are strewn across the landscape. I mean, there's numerous slash piles in the forests of the western U.S., okay? And so can we do something beneficial with these materials? And here's the second issue I'm going to tell you about. In the western U.S., you've probably heard about pine beetle kill. This is a picture from one of my favorite locations on the western side of Rocky Mountain National Park, and the whole hillside is dead. I mean, if there's a live tree in there, it's amazing. And so this is a real issue in the western United States. We only need one lightning strike, and that whole hillside is going to be ablaze. And so can we do something with these materials to beneficially reuse those? And here's another issue. This is an issue with invasive species in the western United States. And if you haven't heard of this species, this is tamarisk species, and it loves invading areas along stream banks, channels, et cetera. And we have a major issue with this in the western United States. And you can imagine, so I set the stage, right? So we have issues with these abandoned mine sites. We have 30-some-odd thousand of these that generate acidic mine issue or have acidic mine issues or acidic drainage. And we have a wonderful storage of feedstocks that we can use. And so I was scratching my head, and I said, well, why don't we do something practical about it? Can we use these materials for mine land reclamation? Sound okay? Okay, that's where I'm going with this. Yeah, I want to hear yes. All right, so here's some background in terms of heavy metal sorption. And maybe you've heard this before. There's been a fair amount of work with heavy metal sorption and biochars, maybe not so much in mine land soils themselves, but in solutions. And so we know from some of this previous research based on metal sorption on biochars that it can occur because of these different functional groups, right? And it's all electrostatic interactions above the pHc of the biochar or the carbon in the biochar itself. And here's a great example. This is from, you're going to hear from Dr. Mark Johnson from the US EPA later, I assume. Yesterday, all right, missed it. So anyway, this is from his lab in Corvallis. Sorry, Mark. And this is really hard to see, but I'm just going to tell you the way this works. This picture is showing you copper sorption onto biochar, and it matches up really well with some functional groups. It's really hard to read. I apologize for that. You can also have ion exchange via pi electrons, right? And this occurs as the pH increases in biochars. And this is, again, some work. You can't even read this. I was expecting to be in this huge room. All right. But it matches up really well with sorption on graphite at two different pHs, which are actually higher than the picture up in the top right. And then a third mechanism that I'm going to talk about a little bit more detail today is actual precipitation of metals. So solid phase precipitation under typically basic pH conditions. And so this is what we did. I said, I don't want to play with solutions. I want to play with real soils. And so I have a little bit of a background on mine land reclamation. So we obtained four different soils that are contaminated with the metals you see here. Two from Leadville, basically a surface soil and a subsurface soil. A soil from Creede, Colorado that actually is a site that is right next to an area that has tamarisk invasion. Okay. And then a soil from northern Idaho that's contaminated mainly with lead, but also with manganese and zinc. And so we use these two feedstocks. We pyrolyze them at 500 C. That's pretty typical for some of these mobile pyrolyzers that we would use in some of these areas. And we did a simple metal bioavailability test. This is very simple. 3 grams of soil plus equivalent weights of biochar that increased from 0, 5, 10, 15% by weight. We shook those in 30 mils of 0.01 molar calcium chloride for 2 hours. We centrifuged them. We measured the pH of that solution. And then we filtered that solution through a membrane filter and analyzed that solution for these heavy metals via ICP. And so what did we observe? And this is what we observed. Of course, I'm going to show you. This is lodgepole pine and tamarisk. And on the y-axis is soil pH. On the x-axis is increasing biochar application rate. And the take-home message here, and I apologize, I didn't put the statistics on here, but we saw, it should be a kind of a no-brainer, the biochar pHs were 7.8 and 9.8, and we saw an increase in pH in the solution phase. And we said, okay, that's interesting. So what does that mean in terms of bioavailable metals? And so what you're looking at here, I apologize for the size of the graph, but what you're looking at, the four different colors are the four different soils we used. On the y-axis is the 0.01 molar calcium chloride extractable cadmium. And the take-home message here, even if you can't read the graph, is that you see the bars decrease as you go from left to right. And so you see a decrease in bioavailable cadmium as you increase, essentially, biochar application rate. This is for cadmium. I'm going to show you copper, lead, and zinc. And the take-home message here is you see the same trend as you increase biochar application rate. We see a decrease in bioavailable metals. And this is for lodgepole pine. And so, wow, that's really cool. I would hope you would say the same thing. I'm going to show you the same thing for tamarisk. So the take-home message here, and this is the four elements from top left to bottom right, cadmium, copper, lead, and zinc. And you see that the bars decrease as you go from left to right. All right. And so when we saw this data, we said, well, that's really, really cool. So this might actually work for mine land reclamations. But, you know, I asked another question. I said, well, where are these metals really going? I mean, I think that's really the most important message. And I've talked about this since 2011 or 12, and I've talked to different scientists, and nobody can tell me where the metals are going. So I said, well, I'm going to try to figure out where those metals are going. And I don't have some access to some fancy tools, but I do have access to wet chemistry. And so this is what we did. We took those previously shaken soils from the 0.01 molar calcium chloride extraction, and we air dried them. And we took 1 gram, and we mixed them very well, and we took 1 gram out of that little centrifuge tube, and we passed it through a four-step wet chemical extraction procedure. It's called BCR. It's kind of a European extraction procedure, and it sort of qualitatively defines these different metal pools that you can find metals within. And it's a four-step extraction procedure. It's a real pain in the neck to do, especially with biochar, because there's a step in there that used peroxide, which was entertaining. And we didn't blow the lab up, but it was close at times. And so this four-step sequential extraction procedure pulls out metals from soluble carbonate exchange sites. The second step is iron and manganese oxyhydroxides. Then we follow that up with organic matter and sulfides, and then whatever's left over is called residual. And so I think the thing to keep in mind here is these are operationally defined, all right? They're not exact, okay? And so I want to show you some of this data. And so this is the way the theme of these next few graphs are going to be. So on the y-axis is the element of concern. This is cadmium, for example. On the x-axis, you see increasing amounts of biochar application rate. And then the colored bars represent those four different fractions from the sequential extraction procedure. And so what you... If you can't really read the graphs, the take-home message here is if you see colors increasing as you go from left to right, you're increasing the amount of that metal in that particular phase or pool. And so when you look at this graph, you see the red bars kind of go up. All right, and what that tells you is that cadmium is ending up in a phase that's either associated with, it's likely not the soluble phase, but either the carbonate phase or on an exchange site. Okay, and I think this is kind of important for us when we start thinking about mine land reclamation and where these metals are ending up and what might happen to those metals in the future. Okay, so the next graph is copper, and when you look at the colors, and the first thing that always jumps out at me is the green, but it's not the green that's really the most significant increase. The significant increase is in that first phase, the carbonate and exchange site phase, and we actually see an increase in the oxide or oxyhydroxide phase. And that's really, this data is really interesting to me because I've done a little bit of work in the past with Dan Strawn, and I apologize for this graph, but this is a Fourier transformation of some XAFS data that we ran on some copper sorption on pecan shell biochar a few years ago. This was published in JQ. And the take-home message here is we had a number of biochars, and when you match up the peaks and valleys where the metals are associated either in the first or second shell or orbital of carbon, the copper is associated with carbonates, or they're associated with humic-like substances in this biochar. They're actually associated with oxides within the biochar. And so that really matches up well with the previous graph I just showed you. So we're starting to see some evidence in our new research that supports our previous research, and I think that's really exciting as a scientist. I'm going to show you lead. This is lead. I should have mentioned before, too, I'm only showing you lodgepole pine. I don't have time to show you tamarisk, but the results were very similar. Nonetheless, this is lead, and in lead, we see an increase in the iron and manganese oxide or oxyhydroxide phase. All right, this is you might consider this a little more stable phase as compared to some of the exchange sites or carbonate phases. And then last but not least, this is the zinc phase, and we see that increasing in that first pool. And so hopefully the take-home message here is that, you know, we see mostly or mainly increases in that first phase, and that phase may or may not be stable depending on what you do in terms of treatment processes on mine lands. And so what we're doing is we're hopefully following that up with some real in-field research here. So conclusions. Some biochars can cause decreases in plant-available heavy metals. In fact, the biochars we use, they all did. You should know the metal phases or phase that's present. I think that's important. I think I already drove that message home. And then the future studies, we actually have some projects with the US EPA, with Dr. Mark Johnson, if you were in here yesterday. He's working with us closely. And we're following all this work up with laboratory, greenhouse, and actually on-the-ground field research to really tell us what's going on. And with that, I thank you. I'll take any questions.
We have time for a couple of questions. Yes.
Thomas.
Carbonates in acid mine grades, do you think it's iron exchange more than carbonates that the metals are bound to, or?
So the question was, do I think that the metals are born more to carbonate phases, or are they
more
exchange sites? You know, based on, at least in terms of our copper research, I would say that they're bound as either oxide or some kind of mixed carbonate hydroxide phase. That's what we've seen in the past.
Even at low pH?
That's a good question. So even at low pH. So if you're not familiar with mine land reclamation, so this is the process for mine land reclamation. You have acidic soils or what have you, and you raise the pH, right? And then we take into account the acid generating potential of the system. So we add extra lime or maybe biochar. And so we hope that we maintain a very high pH. Yeah, that's the goal. And so we're hoping that we can shift the pH and take into account the acid generating potential of some of these mine land sites, maintain that pH indefinitely, and then hopefully bind up these metals in these oxides or mixed phases. Yeah, it's really cool.